Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You are listening to PGN's Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish. PGN stands for Prophetic Grace Network. This is PGN Live Online Church. Today, we are talking about the 666 Antichrist Prophecy. I am Dr. Nicole, the Book of Revelation Research Scientist, and I am super excited to share with you about the book of Revelation and specifically about the 666 Antichrist prophecy in chapter 13 of the book of Revelation. Let's begin with hearing the movie trailer in words for the entire book of Revelation. The book of Revelation includes an abstract, a movie trailer in words for the book. It includes a formal introduction. It includes statements of prophecy, a report on heaven from John about what he saw when he was literally transported to heaven. It also includes seven words for seven churches that existed at the time that John lived on the earth. And it includes a formal conclusion. The formal introduction and conclusion for the book of Revelation are narrated primarily by John. In contrast, the movie trailer in words for the entire book of Revelation, in professional writing, we call this an abstract. It is a summary of key events, key figures, or players, if you will, in some scenario. It has the same purposes, the abstract has the same purposes as a movie trailer to communicate from the perspective of the director in the case of a movie, and in the case of an abstract, from the perspective of the writer, the author. What is most important, what is most exciting, what the key events are, but in fact, a movie in its entirety must be seen to understand everything that an author wants to communicate. In the same way, a book in its entirety or a report in its entirety must be viewed, must be read in its entirety to understand all of the details that an author wishes for a reader to be aware of, to understand, to have knowledge of. The book of Revelation includes 22 chapters, but in 8 verses, God the Father shares with us the movie trailer in words from his perspective about the book of Revelation. So if we want to know, in a nutshell, what is the book of Revelation about and what is the take-home point, what are the key issues in the book of Revelation from the perspective of the author, we can look at the movie trailer in words, the abstract for the book in its entirety. So let us do that now. Let's hear the movie trailer in words in 8 verses, verses 1 to 8 of chapter 1 of the book of Revelation will tell us, in a nutshell, what is the book of Revelation about and what is the take-home point? And so this book is authored by John, but its abstract is authored by God the Father. Note that the Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." And so there's God the Father who has his form and who abides in heaven, in an abode, which he will move to the earth at the conclusion of the millennial reign and upon the completion of the great white throne judgment as we transition to the new earth. But at this time, God the Father lives in heaven. God the Father manifest in the flesh is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ lived on the earth. He was sacrificed. He died for our sins, and he was caught up to heaven where he lives until the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so in the same way that you are perhaps a son and a brother and a husband or a wife, a daughter and a mother, or a sister, a daughter and a niece, or a cousin, a brother and a son, you are three in one. You are three in one at a minimum. God the Father is three in one. There's God the Holy Spirit, and God manifests in the flesh, Jesus Christ, who is both the Son of Man and the Son of God. So great is the mystery of the Godhead. It says that in the Bible. So for now, let us hear what God the Father has to say to you and me about the book of Revelation. Reading from the Amplified Classic Translation, verses 1 to 8 in chapter 1, say, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, his unveiling of the divine mysteries. God gave it to him to disclose and make known to his bondservants certain things which must shortly and speedily come to pass in their entirety. And he sent and communicated it through his angel messenger to his bondservant John. Let's pause there. And so we hear that the book of Revelation is about the unveiling of the divine mysteries of Jesus Christ. And it says that God the Father gave to Jesus Christ this, what we are talking about in the book of Revelation. Why? To disclose to whom? To you and to me. And to make known to us things which are coming to pass in their entirety. Well, what are those things? They are the statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation, of which the 666 Antichrist prophecy is one. And so God the Father gives the revelation of Jesus Christ to God manifest in the flesh, the Son. And as Jesus Christ, the Son of Man and the Son of God, as Jesus Christ, God gives this information to his angel, an angel messenger who communicates it to John. And so when we see the statements of prophecy, including the 666 Antichrist prophecy, these were shown to John by the angel messenger. Let's continue in verse 2. We're in the movie trailer in words for the entire book of Revelation. In verse 2 it says, talking about John, who has testified to and vouched for all that he saw in his visions, the word of God, and the testimony of Jesus Christ. So there are three sources of information for the book of Revelation. Number one, the visions that John saw. Those visions are reported beginning with verse 1 of chapter 5 and ending with verse 5 of chapter 22. Those are the statements of prophecy. The second source of information beyond John's visions are, or is, the Word of God. And so we see, particularly in the introduction and conclusion, we see the Word of God from other books in the Bible quoted. And number three, the third source is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ actually speaks to John, and we see this in the formal introduction to the book of Revelation, which follows this abstract. So that's verses 9 to 20 of chapter 1. We see the words of Jesus Christ also in the formal conclusion at the end of chapter 22. And we also have the words of Jesus Christ in the seven churches, the seven words for the seven churches, which are in chapters 2 and 3. What's our take-home point? So how do we arrive at having this content in the book of Revelation? We arrive at it because John used three sources of information. Number one, the visions that he was shown when he was caught up to heaven. Number two, the Word of God itself. So those books in the Bible outside of the book of Revelation specifically, let me pause there. And number three, the testimony of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ actually spoke to John, and some of those words are also included. Particularly, we see them in chapters 1, 2, 3, and 22. Let's continue with the movie trailer in words. Verse 3 says, "Blessed, happy to be envied is the man who reads aloud in the assemblies the word of this prophecy. And blessed, happy to be envied are those who hear it read and who keep themselves true to the things which are written in it, heeding them and laying them to heart. For the time for them to be fulfilled is near." We're told that for those who hear the statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation, those who keep themselves true to the things which are written in it. So how do you keep yourself true to the things that are written in the statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation? Well, the statements of prophecy include three things: predictions, warnings, also called admonitions, and consolations. So the way that we can keep ourselves true to the statements of prophecy, number one, be aware of what the predictions are because they're sure to come to pass. Number two, heed the admonitions, heed the warnings that are included in the statements of prophecy. And number three, allow the consolations. These are words provided for the purposes of bringing hope to people in the context of distressing information or distressing events. So we should allow the consolations to bring us hope as we become aware of the distressing events reported in the book of Revelation. And so we're told that if we do these things, if we hear the statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation, and if we keep ourselves true to the things which are written in them, heeding them and laying them to heart, and we're told to do that because the time is coming when they will be fulfilled, that we are blessed, that we are blessed for doing that. Let's continue in verse 4. It says, "John, to the seven assemblies churches that are in Asia, may grace, God's unmerited favor, be granted to you spiritual peace, the peace of Christ's kingdom, from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits, the sevenfold Holy Spirit before his throne." And so peace is extended from God the Father to John for the purposes of giving that to the seven churches. So John communicates with the seven churches, seven letters in chapters 2 and 3. What churches are the seven churches? Those are the seven churches in seven locations that existed at the time when John lived on the earth. Those locations included Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Let's continue with verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful and trustworthy witness, the firstborn of the dead, first to be brought back to life, and the prince ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who ever loves us and has once for all loosed and freed us from our sins by his own blood and formed us into a kingdom, a royal race, priests to his God and Father, to him be the glory and the power and the majesty and the dominion throughout the ages and forever and ever. Amen. So be it. And so in verses 5 and 6, we are told that in the book of Revelation, we will see that Jesus Christ, the firstborn of the dead, becomes the prince, the ruler of the kings of the earth. When does that happen? At the beginning of the millennial reign. That happens at the beginning of the millennial reign, which begins with chapter 20 of the book of Revelation in the millennial reign prophecy. And we're told that the kingdom that he creates, will be populated by individuals who are members of a race. What race is that? It's the royal race. And that this dominion that Jesus Christ has, this kingdom on this earth, it will last for the ages, throughout the ages. How long is that? It says forever and ever. And finally, in verse 7, we're told, behold, he, talking about Jesus Christ, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth shall gaze upon him and beat their breasts and mourn and lament over him. Even so must it be. Amen. So be it. And so in verse 7, we fast forward. Remember, this is the movie trailer in words. The movie trailer has fast forwarded to Jesus Christ being the firstborn of the dead. So this is when Jesus Christ rose 3 days after experiencing the first death. He rose from the dead. He was brought back to life. And then it fast forwarded to telling us that he's going to be the prince, the ruler of the kings of the earth. And now we're told in the movie trailer about his second coming. When he comes the second time, in other words, when he leaves heaven and relocates to this present earth, he will come with the clouds and everyone will see him. You won't need to catch up with the news, check your internet, check your text messages. Every eye will see him. And now in verse 8, the final verse of the movie trailer in words, the author of this movie trailer identifies himself, and it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God, he who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty, the ruler of all. And so the book of Revelation is about the unveiling of Jesus Christ. And God the Father, who dwells in heaven, gave himself a body so that he could be on the earth and appropriately positioned to judge at the time of the great white throne judgment and to give us the opportunity to not die in our sins, but instead have eternal life. He gave himself another form. And so God became both the Son of God and the Son of Man. And God manifest in the flesh was Jesus Christ. And so he has a physical form, a human form, a body. That mortal body transitioned from mortality to immortality. That made him the firstborn of the dead. And his plan for you and for me is for us to transition just like him from mortality to immortality. And so this book of Revelation is about those events that lead up to the marriage of the Lamb. What is that? That's the period in time where we transition from mortality to immortality. And when we are in our immortal, incorruptible, glorified, perfected bodies, we will dwell three in one in a perfected body, soul and spirit, three in one forever and ever. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And as members of the royal race, individuals who are immortal for the ages of the ages, yes, forever and ever, we will rule and reign as kings and priests with Jesus Christ, who will set up a government on this present earth at the time of the second coming and of the increase of his government and peace. There shall be no end. In Isaiah chapter 9, it says that. For unto us a child was born, for unto us a son was given, and his name and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so great is the mystery of the Godhead. Satan didn't understand the Godhead, which is why Jesus Christ was allowed to die on the cross, because when he did that, he took back the keys to heaven. He took back the keys from hell and Hades. And that means that we are no longer under the law, but we are under grace. I'm going to keep going so that we can get to our 666 Antichrist prophecy, but be aware that the book of Revelation is about the unveiling of Jesus Christ, the divine mysteries of Jesus Christ. It is about that transition for every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life from mortality to immortality, that occurs at the marriage of the Lamb, which is followed by the marriage supper of the Lamb, the Battle of Armageddon, which will be fought and won by Jesus Christ. Seven of the 12 statement of prophecies in the Book of Revelation focus exclusively or primarily on the Great Tribulation. We are going to look at right now the 666 Antichrist prophecy. It begins with verse 1 of chapter 13 and ends with verse 18. It has a movie trailer in words in the same way that every prophecy, every statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation begins with its own abstract, followed by a full report. Let us hear the movie trailer in words, then let's go to the movie. So let's hear the abstract verses 1, 2, 5. In a nutshell, the author tells us, shows us with words, a movie trailer in words, what the 666 Antichrist prophecy is. So we don't have all the details. We have to read the full report for all the details. So in the full movie, we hear about two beasts that are described in the 666 Antichrist prophecy. We hear about these six actions, six specific actions of the false prophet during the Great Tribulation period. We hear about three of the activities of the Antichrist during the 3.5-year Great Tribulation. We learn about the number of the beast. We learn about the mark of the beast and its location, or locations, I should say. All those details are in the full report. But what about the movie trailer in words? Let's start with that. What's the key take-home point? In a nutshell, reading verses 1 to 5 of chapter 13, John says to us, the readers of the book of Revelation, as I stood on the sandy beach, I saw a beast coming up out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads. On his horns he had 10 royal crowns, diadems, and blasphemous titles, names on his heads. And the beast that I saw resembled a leopard, but his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth was like that of a lion. And to him the dragon gave his own might and power, and his own throne and great dominion. And one of his heads seemed to have a deadly wound, but his death stroke was healed. And the whole earth went after the beast in amazement and admiration. They fell down and paid homage to the dragon, because he had bestowed on the beast all his dominion and authority. They also praised and worshiped the beast, exclaiming, "Who is a match for the beast? And who can make war against him?" And the beast was given the power of speech, uttering boastful and blasphemous words. And he was given freedom to exert his authority and to exercise his will during 42 months, 3.5 years. That's an exciting abstract. What are the three key things? There are more than three, but what are perhaps the three most important takeaways from the movie trailer and words? Number one, there is a dragon. And how do we know who the dragon is? The dragon is mentioned several times in the book of Revelation. We have the identity of the dragon explained clearly. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 2, it says in part, "The dragon, that old serpent of primeval times, who is the devil and Satan." So the dragon is Satan, the devil himself, that primeval serpent. Satan will give his power and dominion and authority to a beast. Number one takeaway point. Number two, what is the beast? Who is the beast? The beast is a 10-nation alliance. We know that there are 10 nations because we're told that there are 10 royal crowns. These are not godly nations, though, because these nations are led by leaders who have blasphemous titles. So the leader may have the specific title of prime minister or president, or the specific language used in a nation, but it's the head of the nation, the ultimate authority of that nation. And so there are 10 nations in an alliance together. Together they form a beast. And the beast is given power and dominion and authority by Satan. Point number three in the movie trailer, key point number three. This beast will become so powerful that the peoples of the earth will say, "This beast is so strong, it's so great that no one can defeat this 10-nation alliance. Who can make war against it?" In addition, this beast will have a mouthpiece. And the mouthpiece for the Ten Nation Alliance is the Antichrist. The Antichrist is the mouthpiece for the Ten Nation Alliance, and he will exert his authority. He'll be given freedom and will exert his authority for a finite period of time. That means it's not forever and ever. It might feel like it's forever and ever, but we are heeding the statements of prophecy. We are putting these predictions and warnings and consolations into our heart. And so we read here, and we will know from this day forward, if we didn't know already, that this period of crisis will last only for 42 months. That's exactly 3.5 years. That is 1,260 days, as noted in chapter 12 of the book of Revelation. So sometimes when you look at the book of Revelation, you see the Great Tribulation referred to as 1,260 days. Sometimes it says 42 months. Sometimes it says 3.5 years. So 1,260 days is 42 30-day months. Okay, so let us continue. We've heard the movie trailer in words, the three key points from the perspective of the author about the 666 Antichrist prophecy in its entirety. Now, let's hear the full report. What is the full report for the 666 Antichrist prophecy? It is verses 6 to 18 of chapter 13, and there are six key scenes. So when you look at a movie, the movie covers typically a long period of time. For example, a movie might cover 10 years or 15 years or even 30 years. But we aren't watching the movie for 30 years. We don't see every single thing that happened to every person or everything that happened in every location across 30 years. We see scenes that allow us to get the key information that the author wants to communicate, what is most important. And so when we look at this full report for the 666 Antichrist prophecy, it covers 3.5 years. We're told that in the movie trailer in words. It covers 3.5 years. We will learn about not only the first beast, the Ten Nation Alliance with the Antichrist as its mouthpiece, but we'll also learn about a second beast. So we will learn about the activities of the Ten Nation Alliance, the activities of the Antichrist, the activities of another beast, the false prophet, and these activities occur during a 3.5 year period. Everything about the Great Tribulation and the Antichrist is not included in this singular prophecy, but the key information that the author wishes to communicate to us in the book of Revelation is described here in the 666 Antichrist prophecy. And what is very exciting about this particular prophecy, and what's different about this statement of prophecy from the other 12 that appear in the book of Revelation, is it is the prophecy that focuses on how the Antichrist and the false prophet will work in tandem during the Great Tribulation. And so we see in the Marriage Supper of the Lamb prophecy that they work, that they will end, that their end will also happen in tandem. So they will work together during the Great Tribulation, working the works of Satan, the will of Satan, and they will come to their end. They will come to their end together as well. And that happens at the Battle of Armageddon in verse 20 of chapter 19. We're told, and the beast was seized and overpowered. That's talking about the Antichrist, the mouthpiece for the Ten Nation Alliance. And the beast was seized and overpowered, and with him the false prophet, that's the other beast, who in his presence had worked wonders and performed miracles by which he led astray those who had accepted or permitted to be placed upon them the stamp, mark of the beast, and those who paid homage and gave divine honors to his statue. Both of them were hurled alive into the fiery lake that burns and blazes with brimstone. So what's the fiery lake? That's the second death. That's the permanent death that lasts forever and ever. And so now let's hear more about both of them in this 666 Antichrist prophecy. And so beginning with verse 6, let's hear about the activities of the Antichrist, the mouthpiece for the 10-Nation Alliance. It says in verse 6, reading from the Amplified Classic Translation, and he opened his mouth, talking about the Antichrist, the mouthpiece for the beast, and he opened his mouth to speak slanders against God, blaspheming his name and his abode, even vilifying those who live in heaven. So the Antichrist will be a blasphemer and will slander God as well as those who live in heaven. So who lives in heaven? God the Father lives in heaven. Jesus Christ lives in heaven. And every Christian who is disembodied lives in heaven. So he will slander those, he will blaspheme those who live in heaven, and he will slander God. In verse 7, more about the Antichrist is shared. It says, he, talking about the Antichrist, was further permitted to wage war on God's holy people, the saints, and to overcome them. Now, this is important. We're told in the 666 Antichrist prophecy that the Antichrist will wage war during the Great Tribulation. That's the 3.5-year period that represents the wrath of Satan. The Antichrist will wage war against Christians during this 3.5-year period. And in chapter 12, in the 1260 days prophecy, we're told that war will be waged against Israel during the 1260 days. And so we have God sharing specific statement of prophecies about what happens to Israel during the Great Tribulation and what happens to Christians during the Great Tribulation. Let's continue. What else about the Antichrist? In the 666 Antichrist prophecy, in verse 8 it says, I'm sorry, let me read the second half of verse 7. So the Antichrist will wage war against Christians and will overcome them. And then in the second verse, in verse 7, the second sentence, it says, and power was given him to extend his authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation. And so we learn that the 10-Nation Alliance will grow in power. So at some point, these 10 nations merge into one beast, one world government, essentially. Now, it is a world government in the sense that it will dominate the economic and political affairs of that day. However, it will not be the only, it will not be the only government that exists, and not every nation will come under the power of the Antichrist. We know that from other books in the Bible. However, to some measure, every nation will be impacted. Every nation, it says, every tribe, every people, and every tongue will be impacted by the authority of the Antichrist, by the power of the Antichrist. Let's continue in verse 8. Finally, what else does God want us to know about the activities of the Antichrist during the Great Tribulation? It says in verse 8, and all the inhabitants of the earth will fall down in adoration and pay him homage, everyone whose name has not been recorded in the book of life of the Lamb that was slain and sacrificed from the foundation of the world. Now, this sentence is worded a little bit awkwardly. You really have to read it carefully to make sure that you get an important clarification. Here we're told in verse 8 that there are two groups of people, everyone whose name has, quote, not been recorded in the book of life of the Lamb. And then implied, so that group is mentioned, everyone whose name has not been recorded in the book of life. And then, so implied but not specifically written here, is that there are those whose names have been recorded in the book of life. And so verse 8 is talking about for those individuals who are not in Christ, individuals who have not followed God's plan for salvation, individuals who are Team Satan, not Team Jesus. So in my hometown, Washington, D.C., you can be Team Commanders or Team Cowboys. So the Cowboys and the Commanders are rivals, arch enemies. And so if you're Team Commanders, that means you're not Team Cowboys. If you're Team Cowboys, then you're not Team Commanders. In the same way, but importantly, if you are Team Satan, then you are not Team Jesus. If you are Team Jesus, then you are not Team Satan. If you are Team Satan, your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and verse 8 is about you. Now, what does verse 8 say for all who are Team Satan? It says, for everyone whose name has not been recorded in the book of life of the Lamb, they will fall down in adoration and pay him homage. Talking about the Antichrist and the beast. Let's continue in verses 9 and 10. So we heard in verses 6 to 8 of the full report about the Antichrist. Now we will hear words from God for us, the Christians. Then we will hear the activities of the other beast, the false prophet. And finally, this statement of prophecy ends giving us a clue and telling us the number of the beast, which is 666. So that is the culmination of this prophecy, hence the name, the 666, the name 666, or the words 666 included in the name of this prophecy. So what is said for those individuals who are Team Jesus, those individuals whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? What is God saying to us in this particular prophecy? We have those words in verses 9 and 10. It says, if anyone is able to hear, let him listen. Whoever leads into captivity will himself go into captivity. If anyone slays with the sword must he be slain. Herein is the call for the patience and the faith and fidelity of the saints, God's people. So we are told that with respect to the 3.5-year Great Tribulation, for those 42 months, Christians, we are called to be patient. We are called to have faith, that's confidence in God, and we are called to fidelity, to continue in our faith. And so what do we have faith in? We have faith that tells us that we can be confident in God. Confident about what in God? Confident that the statements of prophecy are true. Confident that God will do what he said he will do, confident that God is not a man that he should lie. So he tells us in the marriage supper of the Lamb prophecy in the book of Revelation that he is coming, and with him he will bring troops from heaven, and he will fight and win the Battle of Armageddon. He says that he is coming to Israel at the end of the Great Tribulation period, at the end of the wrath of Satan. He says at the end of the wrath of Satan, there will be the wrath of God. There will be seven plagues, and these will culminate with the Battle of Armageddon. For the Battle of Armageddon, Jesus Christ will return. He will return with the troops of heaven, and together with the troops of heaven, he will fight and win the Battle of Armageddon, the war to end all wars. But before that time, the Antichrist will wage war against Christians. But we are to be in faith, having confidence in God that that period of time is finite. It has a known start date and a known end date. It will begin with the abomination of desolation, when the Antichrist stands in the third temple, which will shortly be rebuilt, and declare that he is God. And 3.5 years later, that power, that dominion, that authority from the Antichrist will come to an end. The wrath of God will be, the wrath of Satan will be followed by the wrath of God. The seven plagues will be released on the earth, culminating with the Battle of Armageddon. So let's go back to the 666 Antichrist prophecy. What about these 42 months? So we're told to be patient. Herein is the call for the patience and the faith and fidelity of the saints. Remember when Jesus Christ was about to be taken by the soldiers that had been ordered to get him. And when he came, when they came to get him, Peter was angry and he sliced off the ear of one of the soldiers. And Jesus picked it up and put it on the soldier and healed him. He didn't fight. He did not fight the crucifixion. He said, nevertheless, Lord, let your will be done. And so, during these 42 months, the power and the authority of the Antichrist and the 10-nation alliance, the beast will grow. And the saints are called not to slay with the sword. It says anyone who slays with the sword must he be slain. Anyone who leads into captivity will himself go into captivity. We are called to do what during the Great Tribulation? We're told in verse 4 of chapter 20. Witness to Jesus and preach and testify for the word of God. Refuse to pay homage to the beast or his statue. Not to accept the mark of the beast. Not to permit the mark of the beast to be stamped on our foreheads or on our hands. That's what we are called to do during the Great Tribulation. Not to take into captivity anyone. That's what the Antichrist will be doing. Not to slay with the sword. That's what the Antichrist will be doing. Let us continue. What about the false prophet? So we heard about what the Antichrist will be doing during the Great Tribulation. What about the false prophet? In verse 11 it says, then I saw another beast rising up out of the land itself. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke, roared like a dragon. He exerts, continuing in verse 12, he exerts all the power and right of control of the former beast in his presence. And so we're told that there's another beast. So the first beast is the 10-nation alliance, and by extension, its mouthpiece, the Antichrist. So those are together, one beast, the Antichrist and the 10-nation alliance, which he heads, which he's the lead of. He's the mouthpiece for that. But there's a second beast, and this beast will speak like a dragon. Who's the dragon? Satan. So he will speak the mind of Satan. Yet he will have horns like a lamb. So he will appear to be a super Christian, a super saint. But in fact, he is an agent of the devil. He is the mouthpiece for the devil. And we're told here that he's going to work in tandem with the Antichrist. So he will exert all the power and right of control of the former beast, that's the Antichrist, in his presence. So they will work together in tandem to bring to pass the will of Satan on the earth. What else? In verse 12, talking about the activities of the false prophet during the Great Tribulation, it says he causes the earth and those who dwell upon it to exalt and deify the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed, and to worship him. So to deify something means to endow it with the status of being God. And so there is no God but God. Yet the false prophet will cause people of the earth to give to the beast, the Antichrist and the 10-nation alliance, God status. And people will worship the Antichrist and the 10-nation alliance that he leads. Now, in verse 13, it tells us more about the activities of the false prophet. He performs great signs, startling miracles, even making fire fall from the sky to the earth in men's sight. Now, this is important. Some Christians, some atheists, and some agnostics believe that there's no such thing as a miracle. Now, that's a lie. But why does it matter that's a lie? It matters because if you don't believe in miracles and you see a supernatural miracle, an activity, an event brought to pass through supernatural power, if you don't believe that miracles are real and you see one, that's going to bring you to faith. That's going to bring you to faith. But faith in what? Do we have faith in God? Do we have confidence in God? Or do we have faith in Satan? So if you believe that there's no such thing as a miracle, you know, and we all believe something that's a lie at some point, but through knowledge, we increase in wisdom. And so let's say that that's what you're thinking. Well, the book of Revelation tells us for sure that startling miracles will be performed by the false prophet. And so when you see this startling miracle, fire being called forth from heaven and literally descending, how will you explain that? How will you make sense of it? What is the take-home point? This is the take-home point, and this is how God calls us to believe in it. Understand that it is a miracle. Miracles are inspired and come from one of two sources. Source number one, the bona fide, true power of God. Source number two, the counterfeit power, supernatural counterfeit power of Satan. So as an angel, he was endowed with a certain measure of authority. And when he tricked Adam and Eve, he gained dominion of the earth and the keys to hell, death, and the grave. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he got those keys back. But he still has dominion of this earth until Jesus Christ returns to rule and reign. It is possible for Satan to use men and women to perform miracles. Similarly, it is possible for God to use men and women to perform miracles. So, friend, let us understand that during the Great Tribulation, we will see exciting, amazing, powerful, even startling miracles. And we are called to not be surprised and to not be deceived, to understand that miracles are for today and that miracles are happening on the earth. They're going to happen specifically during the period of the Great Tribulation. And it won't just be one miracle. There will be multiple miracles. It says startling miracles. Now let's talk about this fire falling from the sky. When fire falls from the sky, that is a counterfeit. Satan loves to plagiarize and copy what God is doing, what God has done, and what God will do. And so we'll see in the 666 Antichrist two examples of how Satan counterfeits what God is doing and what God will do. God uses men to cause fire to fall from the sky. He used the prophet Elijah to perform this miracle in the Old Testament. And God is going to have this same miracle performed again at the end of the millennial reign. In the book of Revelation, we see this miracle, fire falling from heaven, fire descending from heaven. In verse 9 of chapter 20, it says, fire descended from heaven and consumed them. Who's them? These are the people at the end of the first 1,000 years of Jesus Christ ruling on this earth after his second coming. Some people listening to Satan, they're deceived. So they run to Jerusalem thinking they're about to fight a war. If they had read and believed the book of Revelation, they would have understood that the marriage supper of the Lamb is the last war of all time on this earth. It's the war to end all wars. But Satan tells them, we're going to war. We're going to take back this earth. Jesus Christ has been ruling for 1,000 years. But now that I've been released from the great abyss, I'm back. We're back. We're about to take this earth. Let's go to Jerusalem and take out Jesus and his people. We're coming back into power. We're going to rule and reign on this earth, but it's a total lie. And what happens, there's no war at all. There's not even a battle. God simply causes fire to fall from heaven, and they're consumed. This is not even a whole verse in the millennial reign prophecy. It happens so fast like that. It's just a few words. Fire descended from heaven and consumed them. And then God goes to the next thing, telling us about how the devil is thrown into the lake of fire forever and ever, where he joins the Antichrist and the false prophet. This miracle causing fire to fall from the sky to the earth in men's sight. So in other words, we are all going to see it. This thing is going to be played over and over again on MSNBC, Fox News, CNN, whatever the news stations are at that time. They're going to play this over and over again. They're going to interview people who saw it live. We're going to hear the sound of it. The false prophet is going to tell us how he performed the miracle and what it all means. It's going to be sensational. This is like somebody goes on the air to say, I cured cancer last night. I mean, that would be news. Everyone would want to hear about that, would want to know about it. It would be amazing. We'd be talking about it for days, weeks, months, and years. And so this is going to be amazing. You know, you might remember when Halley's Comet came, and that was big news, and people were talking about this. It's going to be more than 100 times greater than that. This is going to be fire that we can all see, and it's going to be called forth, and at his word, the word of who? The other beast, the false prophet, is going to descend. So he's going to call fire forth from heaven. So it will be a miracle. But again, this miracle stems from the power of Satan, not the power of God. So we won't be seduced by it. We won't worship the false prophet. We won't be excited about Satan endowing men with power to bring to pass his evil plans. Instead, we are to look upon that as evidence that indeed we are in that 42-month period, that indeed that is the other beast who's working in tandem with the mouthpiece for the 10-Nation Alliance at that time. And most importantly, we're getting closer to the end of the wrath of Satan, and the wrath of God, and the great and the battle of Armageddon, and most importantly, the second coming of Jesus Christ will soon come to pass. So that's the way to look at that when that happens. Now, let's continue. In verse 14, it says, "And because of the signs, miracles, which he is allowed to perform in the presence of the first beast." So saying, because the false prophet perform miracles in the presence of the Antichrist, let's continue. He, the false prophet, deceives those who inhabit the earth. So when they see this miracle and these other miracles, they're deceived. They say, well, wow, this is amazing. No other man has done this. But it's a total lie. Elijah called forth fire from heaven, not in our lifetime, but it happened, and it's recorded in the Bible. There are other men and women of God who have performed supernatural miracles through the power of God today. We don't see that normally reported, but it happens. Nonetheless, people of the earth will be deceived because of this. And then what does he do? In verse 14, continuing, it says, commanding them to erect a statue, an image, in the likeness of the beast who was wounded by the small sword and still lived. And so the false prophet will commission, he will commission a statue to be erected. And this statue will have an image in the likeness of the beast. Now, who's the beast? The beast is the 10-Nation Alliance, and by extension, its mouthpiece, the Antichrist. And remember, people are going to pay homage to the Antichrist. And they'll say, who can make war against the Antichrist and his 10-Nation Alliance? In verse 15, continuing, verse 15 of chapter 13, it says, and he, talking about the other beast, the false prophet, is permitted also to impart the breath of life into the beast's image so that the statue of the beast could actually talk and cause to be put to death those who would not bow down and worship the image of the beast. Now, this is very important. Verse 15 and verse 16 have especially critical information for us to understand about what is going to happen in the 3.5-year Great Tribulation period. We're told here, this is very specific, that the statue that is erected will have the image of the Antichrist, who's the head of the 10-Nation Alliance, on it, that the statue will be able to talk, and the response of human beings to the statue saying certain words is supposed to be bowing down and worshiping the image of the beast. Now, where's the image of the beast? It's on this statue that's erected, and the statue is going to talk. And when it talks, the response is supposed to be bowing down and worshiping. So that is a very specific prediction. Now, we're told about what we are supposed to do during the Great Tribulation. We are supposed to witness to Jesus, preach and testify for the word of God, refuse to pay homage to the beast or his statue, not accept the mark, not permit the mark of the beast to be stamped on our foreheads or on our hands. Those are the things that we're supposed to do. They're noted in Revelation chapter 20. And so what else does the false prophet do? In verse 16, it says, also he compels all alike, both small and great, both the rich and the poor, both free and slave, to be marked with an inscription stamped on their right hands or on their foreheads, so that no one will have power to buy or sell unless he bears the stamp, mark, inscription, that is the name of the beast or the number of his name. And now let's hear about, well, what's the number of his name? In verse 18, it says, here is room for discernment, a call for the wisdom of interpretation. Let anyone who has intelligence, penetration, and insight enough calculate the number of the beast, for it is a human number, the number of a certain name, certain man. His number is 666. So I shared earlier that there are two counterfeit activities that we see here, where Satan is attempting to copy God. He's a liar, he's a deceiver, he's a murderer, and he's a plagiarizer. So God performs the miracle through men of having fire descend from heaven onto the earth. He did that with the prophet Elijah, and that will happen again at the end of the millennial reign. And God is going to put his mark on every person who is Team Jesus, every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Satan will put his name, his number, his mark on every person whose name is, every person who is Team Satan, every person who will join him, his children will all join him in the lake of fire forever and ever. And so there are only two resurrections. There's the resurrection to eternal life that happens at the time of the second coming, the marriage of the Lamb. And then there's the resurrection to eternal damnation that happens at the great white throne judgment. And so Satan, during this great tribulation period, he knows his time is short. After the war in heaven described in the book of Revelation, he's banished from heaven forever. He's mad as all get out. He's relegated to this present earth. And so he's doing as much as he can. He's doing the most. And that's why this world comes to a period of crisis like there has never been, and the Bible says, and will never be again. And so when Satan is banished from heaven after he fights and loses a war in heaven, he's on this earth working through the power of the Antichrist and the false prophet. You say, research scientist, what are you talking about, a war in heaven? In the 1,260 days prophecy before this 666 Antichrist prophecy, We're told about the Great Tribulation period. I mentioned the 1,260 days prophecy in chapter 12 is about Israel and what will happen to Israel during the Great Tribulation period, as well as how did Israel arrive at the point of being the primary target of Satan during the Great Tribulation. That's all described in that 1,260 days prophecy, which we will be focusing on in March of 2023. So in verse 7 of chapter 12, it says, let me go to verse 6. And the woman herself, talking about Israel, fled into the desert, wilderness, where she has a retreat prepared for her by God, in which she is to be fed and kept safe for 1,260 days, 42 months, 3.5 years. Then war broke out in heaven. So that's the end of the movie trailer in words for the 1,260 days prophecy. So this is saying Israel will survive for 1,260 days of this great tribulation. Okay, now let's hear about something that happens during the Great Tribulation. In verse 7, it says, then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels went forth to battle with the dragon. Now remember, whose dragon? The Satan. And the dragon and his angels fought. But they were defeated, and there was no room found for them in heaven any longer. And the huge dragon was cast down and out, that age-old serpent who is called the devil and Satan, he who is the seducer, deceiver of all humanity the world over. He was forced out and down to the earth, and his angels were flung out along with him. So I'm going to pause there. So one of the reasons why the Great Tribulation period is going to be so horrible is that it is the wrath of Satan. Now, why is Satan so angry? Because he's been banished from the most wonderful place in the world at this time, heaven. Right now, he's allowed to go before the throne to be the accuser of the brethren. But there's coming a time, and it's soon come to pass, that Michael and his angels, so Team God, will fight Team Satan, and Team Jesus is going to defeat Team Satan. And so what is the penalty for losing the war in heaven? The penalty is that Satan will be cast out of heaven. Well, where else can he go? Well, he will go to this present earth where we are. And so when he's here, he's angry. Imagine you fight a war because you want to win. You believe you're going to win. He has a third of the angels, all angels that were ever created. Two-thirds stayed with God. One-third went with Satan. So Satan and a third of his angels are fighting Michael and some number of angels that have been assigned to fight with Michael against Satan in heaven. So people say, oh, in heaven, you just, you know, people play harps and you eat grapes and you float on clouds. No, friend, there are activities in heaven. We're told in the Bible that people are getting ready for the Battle of Armageddon in heaven. Let's stay where we are. And so the Great Tribulation period, this 1,260 days, is the wrath of Satan. And he will be on the earth, and he will be exerting his will through the Antichrist and the false prophet, and his angels will be with him. And so if you think that there's demonic activity now, what about when all the demons, all the angels, they're demons because they went from Team God, that's Team Jesus, to Team Satan. So they're here and there, but all of them, along with Satan, will be here on the earth. And so it's going to be a very dark period, a period of great crisis. Now, let's go back to the 666 Antichrist prophecy. And so what is this other beast, the false prophet, going to do? He's going to compel all alike, both small and great, both the rich and the poor, both free and slave, to be marked with an inscription stamped on their right heads or on their foreheads. So he's doing this because he's angry, and he wants to take every person who God has destined to be his child, to live with him for the eternities of eternities, on the present earth and the new earth to come. He wants to steal from God his children. He wants to take you, and he wants to take me and all of our loved ones with him to eternal damnation. But we have a choice. We have a choice. We can decide that we are going to be Team Jesus, so that we are resurrected to eternal life and our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Or we can decide, talking about this great tribulation period, that we're going to be, I'm not going to say we, I'm not going to use those words, a person could decide that he or she is going to be Team Satan, that his or her name will not be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that he or she will be resurrected at the time of the great white throne judgment and spend life in the lake of fire. That's eternal damnation forever and ever, for the ages of the ages, for eternity. Those are the only two options. Those are the only two trajectories of life for every human created. Neither yourself nor me, neither of us can decide that we are going to spend life as a disembodied spirit floating around Jupiter. We're going to just traverse, as a free spirit among the stars. We're going to live on Pluto. We don't have that option. In the same way that I can't say, you know what, Lord, this body is okay, but put me in the body of Halle Berry. Or, Lord, I'm 5'4". I'd rather be 5'9". Why don't you put me in that body over there? Or, Lord, I was born in this year. I think I would have preferred to be born in the 1800s. Let's circle back and do that again. I am the created by a creator. You are a creation of the creator. The creator of this world, the omnipotent God, has decided that every creation, every human, will live for eternity. I don't have a choice about that, and you don't have a choice about that. What we do get to decide is, do we want to live for eternity? Do we want to live for eternity on this earth? And a new earth is coming, a perfected earth where there will be no war. War shall be no more. There'll be no murder. Let me tell you about this new earth. In the new earth prophecy, we're told so many things, and we'll be talking about that again. We talked about it earlier this year, and all December of 2023, we're going to focus exclusively on that. But briefly, for every person who decides to be Team Jesus, what you will experience on the new earth is, and we're told in verse 4 of chapter 21, death shall be no more, neither shall there be anguish. Sorrow will be no more. Mourning will be no more. Grief will be no more. Pain will be no more, for the old conditions and the former order of things have passed away. So Satan's counterfeit is the new world order. God's plan is God's new order on the new earth. So there's Satan's counterfeit new world order, and then there's the real God's new order that will happen on the new earth. So we'll be on this present earth with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years, and then we transition to a new earth, a perfected earth. Only members of the royal race will be permitted to live with Jesus Christ and God the Father on this new earth. Now, you get to decide, do Do you want to live in the lake of fire that's called eternal damnation forever and ever? Is that your trajectory of life? So in other words, you go from mortality to being a disembodied spirit and with your same soul, mind, will, and emotions, and your same spirit, disembodied in Hades. That's where disembodied spirits who are not in Christ go. Disembodied spirits who are in Christ go to heaven. So we're meant to be three in one. In the book of Genesis, we were three in one, body, spirit, and soul, in a perfected body that would never die. Then sin entered the world, and now instead of being sons of God, we're sons of Adam. And so we experience death, but God says, no, 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 that is not my best. That is not my plan for my people. I want my people to have eternal life, three in one. And so Satan doesn't win. We have the book of Revelation. Satan doesn't win. We are going back to three in one. If you want to be with Satan, if a person wants to be two in one, so that's where you experience death and you continue. Ultimately, you arrive at living in the lake of fire. That's the second death. It's permanent. So you're not on the earth. You're not in a perfected body, but God's perfect plan is a perfected body for you and for me, a body that never gets cancer, a body that never has mental distress and torment, a body that is always at its peak. You know, I hear people today saying, oh, in my day, I did this. In my day, I could do that. In my day, friend, your day is coming and it will be a forever day. You haven't reached your peak yet. Now you say, well, when I was 28, I ran a mile in this amount, or I did the marathon in this amount of time, or I played basketball, or I played football, or I was great at tennis, or I was fantastic with chess, whatever thing it was. I could make this many pies in a day, or I had my children doing this or that. Friend, there is coming a time when everything that you did in your so-called day, you'll be able to do all of that and more. Your brain will be perfected. You will have no errors in your DNA. So the sins of the father are visited upon the children up to the fourth generation. So we're having problems in our minds and in our bodies due to the sins of the father, sometimes due to our own sins, sometimes due to the sins of others. But on the new earth, when not only are we in our perfected bodies, but we're on a perfected earth that's free of all five enemies of God. Who are the five enemies of God? The Antichrist, the false prophet, Satan himself, everybody who's team Satan and death. When those five enemies are no longer on this earth, you are going to be able to operate in a way that you never have. You are going to be your best self in your best body, living your best life. I don't care what you've done. There's no sin that's so great that the blood of Jesus cannot pay for it. There's nothing that you have done. There's nothing that you have done that can keep you from having everything that God wants you to have if you are willing to follow his plan for salvation. So you might say, well, I'm mad at God because I was born without this, or I was born with this disease, or I lost this person, or, you know, friend, this world is fallen. Maybe you had the misfortune of losing a spouse at a young age. Maybe your parents died when you were young. Maybe you don't have eyesight, or your hearing is not what it's supposed to be. Maybe you suffered mental distress because you inherited something from a parent. There are literally thousands of wrong things that are happening every day, things that are outside of the will of God. We are in the age where Satan's dominion is in place, and there are people operating under the power of Satan, and even Christians who want to act in the will of God. Sometimes we fall short, but there's coming a day where Satan will no longer exist on this earth, where his angels operating under his leadership will no longer exist on this earth, where death shall be no more, sorrow shall be no more, pain shall be no more, grief shall be no more, and you are going to see the face of your God, and your God is going to live and dwell with you on the new earth. And friend, do not take the mark of the beast. Take the mark of God. That second counterfeit miracle, the mark of the beast, Satan wants to put his name on your head because God wants to put his name on your head. He tells us about how he's going to put his name on your forehead in verse 4 of chapter 22. In the New Earth prophecy, it says, they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. Who's his name? God's name. Wait for God to put his name on your forehead. Don't take the mark of the beast on your forehead. You can choose eternal life and reject eternal damnation. Taking the mark of the beast is saying, I am moving forward in life towards eternal damnation. Now, God tells us in the book of Revelation, in chapter 3, I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which descends from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. And in verse 18, we're told, let anyone who has intelligence, penetration, and insight enough calculate the number of the beast, for it is a human number, the number of a certain man. His number is 666. Don't take his name and his number. Don't take the name of the beast. In verse 17, it says, the name of the beast or the number of his name. Don't take that on your forehead. Choose eternal life by choosing Team God, that's Team Jesus Christ. Whatever you do, friend, make sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm so excited to continue this discussion on Tuesday of this week. We will continue talking about the 666 Antichrist prophecy. I will look forward to being with you then. Please plan to join us every Sunday and every Tuesday here on PGN Prophetic Grace Network to hear secrets revealed, understand the book of Revelation from start to finish. Until next time, friend, take care.